Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad that you could join us this day. We are in the middle of a sermon series on prayer. Last week, we heard from Pastor Bob about what prayer is, and today, we're going to be reflecting upon why do you pray? Now, I understand I'm asking that with kind of the understanding, the force, the trust that, of course, you are praying, but I want you to think about that today. As we think about, you know, what is it that the gift that God has given us in prayer, what's that all about? Why do you do it? But I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering whose we are, having been claimed in the waters of holy baptism, beginning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord, this house that we get to gather in, Lord. But mostly, Lord, that you are in this place, that we get to come here and spend time with you, Lord, that you speak to us through your word, and we have opportunity to return praise and thanksgiving, Lord, to you for all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and our minds, Lord. Send your spirit to help us, Lord, so that we can see you more clearly, Lord, and receive from you this incredible forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and the peace, Lord, that surpasses understanding. All this we pray in your name. Amen. My friends, God has brought us peace. And part of that, I mean, a big, enormous part of the peace that God has brought us is this forgiveness of sins. So at this time, let us go before God and lay our sins at the foot of the cross and receive the forgiveness that he died to give us. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praise to our God.
Thank you. lift us to the joy divine. God our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are one. Teach us how to love each other. Lift us to the joy divine. God our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other. Lift us to the joy divine. Joyful, joyful, we adore you.
This next song is taken from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you.
Even before the dawn of morning sun, see me completely, and when I'm weary and the day is done, you know what I'm feeling. Where can I go that you would not know me? Where can I run that you won't be there? You're higher than the heavens, and you're deeper than the depths within my soul. Where can I go that you won't go? I'm such a fool for thinking I could hide from the King of creation. My left and my, you're always by my side. In my doubts and desperation, where can I go that you would not know? Where can I go that you are?
be there. You're higher than the heavens, and you're deeper than the depths within my soul. Where can I go that you won't go? That you won't know? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run from your presence? If I lie down in the depths, you are there.
If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night all around me. Even the darkness is light when you're there.
Oh, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run from your presence? If I lie down in the depths, you are there.
If I say,
surely your darkness so high, and the light become night all around me. Even the darkness is light when you're there.
Good morning. My name is Josh Landgraf. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths go tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture text for this morning is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It's now time for the children's message, and Lewis Johnson has the children's message this morning. Come on forward, kids.
Everybody, come on down. But I'm going to need a volunteer, so we'll wait till everybody gets up here. But I need someone who's like really strong, lots of energy, likes to move around a lot. Any volunteers? No? Okay, I'm gonna ask a question. Who's really good at doing jumping jacks? Anybody good at doing jumping jacks? Yeah, okay. All right, so here's what I need you to do. I want you to do jumping jacks, and I don't want you to stop until I tell you to stop, okay? All right, gotta keep going. So while he's doing that, I don't know if you guys were listening, there was a word that was said several times during the first reading. It talked about being weary. How you doing? You okay?
Yeah.
All right, I know you are. No, you gotta keep going, you gotta keep going. I'm kidding. You can stop. I wish I had that kind of energy. Great job. But I don't know if you heard. So the word was weary. Who knows what weary means? Any ideas or thoughts? Well, one definition of weary is being tired. So you've done all those jumping jacks, and after a while, you're like, I got to stop. So that's one definition of weary. But another example of being weary is something that, as I was thinking about talking to you this morning, I remembered something that my parents would always say to me, that when I was your age, I didn't really like, because they would always say, when you're older, you'll understand. It just frustrated me. But one example of being weary is sometimes things happen in this world because of sin, and we wonder why. Maybe it's someone we love who is sick, and we wonder why. Or maybe we've got a hard test, and we really don't want to study, and we're like, why do I have to study for this test? And you're always just worried about what to do. Or maybe someone is mean on the playground, and you're like, why is this person always mean to me? And you worry, and you get anxious. But if you remember last week's lesson, Miss Lauren talked about prayer, and that we can always go to God with anything, whether it's concerns about someone we love who's sick, or we've got a big test coming up, or there's someone mean on the playground and I don't know how to deal with that person. Sometimes those things can weigh on us and make us feel very anxious or worried. But God wants us to come to Him with all of that, anything that we are concerned about. And I'm going to test your memory. The last time I did the children's message, I asked you guys to sing a song with me that I learned when I was your age that we used to sing in Vacation Bible School, and it was called He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. You guys remember that? I know that was several weeks ago. Maybe you guys remember that. But I want you always to remember, whenever you are worried or anxious about anything, that God has the whole world in His hands, and then we can always come to Him and pray and just talk to God about whatever is on our hearts. Okay? You remember that? All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank You that we can always come to You with all of our thoughts and concerns. Thank You that You love us so much that You want us to come to You. Help us to always remember that. And all God's children say, Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a man who, every morning, he'd wake up and he'd look at his wife and he'd say, I love you, you're amazing, and I'm so glad to be married to you. And then she'd go and she'd make his breakfast and he'd get himself ready for work. And while they're eating breakfast, he'd tell her about all the things that he's hoping to see happen that day around the house. And before he'd go off to work, he'd give her a kiss and he'd say, I love you, you're amazing, and I'm so glad that I'm married to you. And he'd go through his day and he'd do his work and he'd come home. And as soon as he'd come home, he'd see her and again give her a kiss and say, I love you, you're amazing, I'm so glad to be married to you. And during dinner, he'd share everything about what he had done in his day and the joys and the frustrations that he had experienced. And as they went to bed that night, he'd of course say to her, I love you, you're amazing, and I'm so glad to be married to you. Now, this is not a sermon on God's perspectives on family dynamics. That whole series is actually happening in the fall. No, this is a sermon about prayer. And at the heart, prayer is a conversation. Last week, Pastor Bob was sharing how one way to view prayer is that it's talking to God with your thoughts and with your words. And as the function of any conversation is, a conversation is for the purpose of many ways of building up a relationship with the one who you are conversing, talking with. And so as you talk with God, you are growing in your relationship with God. And so the reason why I had that first illustration is I fear that sometimes when we converse with God, we approach it the same way that that husband did to his wife. You wake up in the morning and say, God, I love you. Oh, it's so great, that the wonderful things that you do for me. Thank you. Oh, I'm so glad you're my God. And the entirety of what is shaped there then is often in a direction of, God, this is what I'd love to see happen today. Can we make that happen, please? And you come back and say, okay, God, this is what happened. These are the joys, these are frustrations. And in all of the dialogue that we have with God, all too often, I fear that we fall into the temptation that we never actually stop and listen. Because again, it's a conversation. Now, obviously, the challenge is that if you look at the history that we know of humanity, I would venture to guess that approximately 99% of people who have ever lived have not experienced talking to God in the same way as you would experience talking to another human being. Obviously, that makes it a challenge. And as we reflect upon prayer and what it is, I have a resource that I consulted, a book that's entitled Why Pray? It's a kind of Lenten devotional, 40 different short devotional thoughts. And the first one, the person who wrote it, says that he was asked one time, does it pay to pray? And obviously it depends then on what you're thinking it is to pay. You know, in other words, are you coming at it from a perspective of, well, there's something I want to see happen. Is it going to increase the odds of it happening if I pray first? Is that what prayer is all about? Or to say it differently, if I don't pray, is it not going to happen? Why do you pray? Why do you talk to the Almighty? It's interesting. I don't know of anybody who has the relationship with President Trump that they could just call up President Trump on the phone and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I want you to hear these thoughts. But the reality is that all of us have the opportunity to talk to one significantly, infinitesimally greater than Donald Trump. Like the psalm said, there is nowhere that you can go from his spirit, nowhere that you can flee from his presence. You can go up to the heights and God is there. You can go down to the depths and God is there. No matter where you go in life, God is right there with you. And at any moment, you can share with him what is on your heart. And he will listen. How many times in your life have you had a conversation with somebody and you can see on their face suddenly their mind went to a whole different place? And not because they don't care about you, just distractions come up in life, do they not? And yet every single word and thought that you have, your Heavenly Father hears. How amazing is that? In that book that I mentioned, Why Pray?, he gives many different illustrations to think about what is the dynamics of prayer and why it is that we do it and what is happening. One of the illustrations that he gives that I appreciate, he says, imagine you're going to church and you have a guest preacher who's coming. And as you're driving by, you see someone who is behind their automobile pushing it. And that would be odd enough, but they're pushing it actually past a gas station. You know, you're maybe like a mile away from your church. And they're here, they are just pushing. So you kind of pull up and you look, and you're like, wait a minute. We had this picture in our bulletin of our guest preacher. That's our guest preacher. What's he doing pushing his car? What's he doing pushing his car past a gas station? And so you pull up and ask him, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, I got to get to church. The service starts in 10 minutes. I can't stop for anything. And there's a lot of times that the reality of prayer is that it's filling up our gas tank, metaphorically speaking. In other words, so many days, if you try to go through your day, I have so much to do, oh my goodness, I can't stop and pray. And you're missing the very gift that God gives you to help you in every circumstance. Or as well, I heard it once said concerning Luther, I don't know if he said this or not, but I believe he was once asked, you know, how long do you pray every morning? And I says, well, when I get up, I like to pray for 2 hours every morning, unless I have a lot on my mind that I have to accomplish that day. And then I pray for 3 hours. Because you see, prayer is the preparation for what you have to do in this life, what God has called you to do as you serve in your various vocations of husband, wife, child, student, worker, whatever it is, prayer is the preparation. Or the author of Why Pray gives another illustration that I like where he says he remembers when he was a kid where he would go to his grandfather's farm, and his grandfather enjoyed putting him up on his lap while he drove the tractor. And so the author remembers riding on his grandfather's lap, driving the tractor. And when they would turn, he would turn, and he helped to move the tractor. And he spent several weeks one summer there. And then we went home, and he was talking to his grandfather on the phone. He's like, man, I sure hope you're getting the work done without me. And in many ways, prayer functions in that way as well. You see, the work of God is such where he is able, capable of doing it without our help. And yet, just like the grandfather graciously inviting his grandson to come and help him with the work to be done, God graciously invites us to come and do his work in and amongst his creation through prayer. Prayer is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's like breathing to life. If you are not praying, then it's like cutting off your breath of your spiritual life. For breathing is the air that you breathe as you talk to your God, your Creator, the one who has created you, the one who has redeemed you, the one who sanctifies you, makes you holy, sets you apart. As we consider the words of Paul to the church in Philippi, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. It's nice. You know, Paul says it and then magically it happens, right? Sorry, there's a whole book, I'm not going to go into it, but that's entitled Anxious Generation. That's all about the generation that was raised up on social media and cell phones and all of that. And so I'm thinking about this as I'm thinking about the reality that not just for that generation, but probably for many and all of us at this age of life, anxiety is just a commonality. Because there's so much that we have to manage. There's not just I wake up in the morning and get myself ready, but you have a whole other persona online for many of us. And you have so many different relationships to navigate in a given day. It used to just be, well, who did you see that day? And maybe you have like a long distance letter or maybe even a phone call to a friend, a loved one. But now with social media, there's about, I don't know, 500 people that you might come in contact with in a given day. But anyway, do not be anxious about anything. But Paul continues, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I just want to encourage you, go home today, read Philippians 4, verse 8. And just reflect on how difficult it is in this life to keep those things on your mind. That's an activity for a different sermon, but it's just coming to mind because I'm reading it. But it's not easy to keep these things on your mind, and that's why Paul says it. But again, this is a sermon about conversations with God. And while it's true, there have been many times in my life where I have felt anxious, and I went and I prayed to God, and by the grace of God, a peace that surpasses all understanding has come over me. But admittedly, there's also many times where I have prayed to God and I did not get that immediately. Or there's been many times in my life where I'm wondering, what do I do now, God? I don't know the best course of action. Everything sounds awful, but I have to do something. And I pray, and there have been wonderful times where suddenly a thought pops in my head. Oh, that's the way to go. But admittedly, there's also been numerous times where I have done the exact same activity of going and having a conversation with the Almighty and said, God, which way should I go? And I hear crickets. Or sometimes my favorite is when I get essentially, please hold. Now, I know and I believe that my Heavenly Father has heard every single word that I have uttered or thought. But man, is it hard when I hear crickets back. And in those times, we get the encouragement from Isaiah, which say, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And yet he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths grow tired and weary. Even my son got tired of doing jumping jacks. And young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Man, is the waiting hard sometimes. But I tell you what, the reason why you pray, because the one that you pray to wants to have a relationship with you. But the dynamics of this relationship is not the same as the dynamics between yourself. That was a weird way to say that, but thanks for bearing with me. Between yourself and someone else. But he is the creator, the almighty, the one who looked upon his creatures and said, it is not good what has happened, and so I will do the only thing that can possibly solve this problem. I will take on flesh and dwell among them, and I will offer myself as a sacrifice that they might be atoned for their sins. And the divide between you and the Almighty is so incredibly big, and yet, despite that, the Almighty says, I love you. I care about you. I want to have a close relationship with you. And this is astounding. But the dynamics of this relationship, the foundation of it is one where we are called to trust. And man, is that hard. Because sometimes we get silenced because we cannot possibly understand the bigger picture of what is really the best course of action to move forward. And God says, I want you to trust in me. I want you to wait in me. And so we wait. And we pray. And we wait. And we pray. And we wait. and we pray. But we do not pray as those who have no hope. Because our hope rests not in ourselves, not in the fervor of our prayer, not in, you know, if I say so many prayers in a given day, then God surely will do what I ask. Or if I get so many likes on Facebook, it'll happen. We pray as a people who have hope and a God who has communicated to us through his word that he loves us, that he forgives us, that he renews us, that he has for us a plan and a purpose. A plan with hope. A plan of life. So you pray because the one to whom you pray is shaping you and forming you into who it is that he desires you to be. And who that is the absolute best that you can be. Because that is what God desires for you. And sometimes the getting there is hard. Because it requires a whole lot of trust in the one to whom you pray. But that's why you pray. You pray because he is faithful. Because he loves you. Because he is shaping you to be exactly who you need to be. Amen.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
In your heart.
Our God tells us that if we confess him, that on the last day he will confess us, because it is through this faith that we receive the forgiveness of sins he earned for us. So let us today confess, using the words of the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right, my friends, it is time for us to go before our Father in heaven and lay our needs, our petitions, our concerns, and also our rejoicing in front of him. Few things we got to know today. First of all, Ed Ployer, our brother in Christ, is already admitted to the hospital, and he is scheduled for open heart surgery Friday. He has to be in the hospital all week to get his blood work just right so that he's prepared, ready for the surgery. So we want to be praying for him today and then also this week as he is getting ready for this and also recovering. Also, Kevin Ross, another brother in Christ, his heart was getting so bad, and he actually got on the transplant list, and like days after getting on the transplant list, a heart was available for him. Is he here today? I heard rumor that he was going to be here. No, I don't see him. Okay, well, very good. Be praying for him. I visited him the Thursday before his surgery and the Thursday after, and the night and day difference was amazing. I mean, it is like truly breathing new life into him. Unbelievable. So we just praise God that that our Kevin is still among us and doing so well. And then the other thing we want to do is we want to pray for our youth. We've got two kids down in New Orleans right now at the National Youth Gathering, and we want to be praying God's blessing on them, and that they would have the experience that he wants them to have, and that they would be able to come home safely. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for just being our God and guiding us through this crazy life, Lord. You know how difficult it is. You've been here. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to walk with us every day, Lord, through the good times and the bad times, whatever comes. Lord, let us be walking with you, following you, submitting to you, Lord, so that our lives are as meaningful and rich, Lord, as you want them to be. Lord, I pray that you would be with Ed and Kevin, Lord, as they are in different places in their journey with heart problems. Lord, I pray that you would be with Ed. Help him, Lord, to prepare for the surgery. Bless the work of the doctors and help him that surgery to go well and for him to recover quickly and completely. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be with Kevin, Lord. Thank you so much for the new lease on life, Lord, that he has because you provided for him this heart. I pray that you would continue to be with him as he recovers, Lord. Help him, bless him, and Lord, in both cases, Lord, enrich them in their faith and trust in you, Lord, so that they can have peace during these difficult times. Lord, I pray that you would also be with our kids, Lord, at the gathering, Lord, and their parents as well, that they would have a wonderful opportunity to, Lord, to grow closer to you and to think deep thoughts down there. Lord, I pray that you would help them, Lord, to travel and to make this journey and to come home safely. Lord, thank you for all of this. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every person in our congregation, Lord. You know our needs. You know the things that with which we struggle, Lord, and you are the one who is strong when we are weak. You are the one who carries us through. Help us, Lord, to be able to turn to you in prayer at all times so that we can experience the peace, Lord, that you want us to have. All these things we pray in your name, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the forgiveness of sins." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
The reason. kindness.
God, you are my vision in my bondage. God, you are my freedom all my days.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders.
I know that it is.
My dear friends, once again, our God has come to us. He keeps doing that. I mean, even from the very beginning, some people talk about coming to Jesus, and we all know that, sure, you know, we experience this coming to Jesus, but it's only because he came to us first and converted us and changed us into the person that he wanted us to be from the beginning. And then he just keeps coming. And he came to us earlier in the service at the confession and absolution, and then later at the prayer, he comes and hears us, and now he comes to us in his body and blood, delivering to us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we so desperately need. And as we walk back out into the world, remember that God goes with you. You do not go alone. So as his promise is true, as this relationship that he has welcomed us into with him is so significant, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together, the doxology.
Flow.
Have a seat, my friends. First of all, we've got, I'd like to invite our principal, Megan Dynas, forward. She has got some announcements regarding some cool stuff happening in the school.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's having a great Sunday. I just wanted to tell you, when you are walking through stores nowadays, have you all seen some aisles popping up? Back to school. I kind of go like this, but it is coming. And I kind of wanted to tie it in with what Pastor Josh told us today. Why prayer? Because of the prayers here at this church, we have been blessed with a wonderful donor for our Light of Christ Scholarship Fund. So through that, we are able to offer reduced tuition for many and multiple families this year. We are so excited to be able to do that. And thank you all for your continued prayers for our school, because this has been a wonderful blessing. And I also wanted to let you know that if you know somebody who is feeling that God tug, that I really want to learn about this Christian, this Christ-centered education, please give us a call here at the church, and I would love to let you know about all the wonderful things that are going on at St. Mark's. I attended a administrators conference this week, and they told us a little bit more about Mo Scholars, which is another tax credit scholarship opportunity. So if you have a preschooler and are thinking, you know what, God is leading me to St. Mark's, I just don't know how we can afford that, please call us, because we now have multiple ways that we can help you make it an affordable education so that your child can be here with us to learn and grow in Christ daily. So that's coming up, and I please just invite you to come and come in and come to my office or give me a call. We also have our teacher dedication coming up on August 10th, and come hungry to church that day, because our teachers are going to be having a bake sale. We are going to be baking baked goods to sell to raise money for our LEA convocation, which is a professional development for our teachers, where they are going to come together with hundreds of other Lutheran teachers here in St. Louis this year. So we're really excited about that it's here in St. Louis. But we want to be able to give our teachers that opportunity to grow and collaborate with other Lutheran teachers around the nation. I'm excited. My future daughter-in-law is coming. She teaches in Trinity in Seward, Nebraska. So it's kind of exciting that she's going to be coming here for that same convocation. So come hungry. We're going to have our teacher dedication and a bake sale that day. So thank you so much.
All right. With that, exciting things. God is so good. He provides for us in ways that we wouldn't ask for or imagine, but he just does that stuff. Let's see here. Bible study on prayer is after the service today, so hang around here. Taught by me, so you know it's going to be good. Whatever. Anyway, what else is... No, it's not Bible study on prayer. It's the Bible study on rest. And today we're talking about rest in our vocations, which means rest in work. So, yeah, come on. I will talk about it. And then the other thing is that we will have an elder available to pray in the prayer chapel if anybody would like to have individual prayer before you leave today. And I'm also supposed to plug the next two sermons in this series. This a week from today is going to be praying for yourself. You know, what is all what's all wrapped up in that, and then the next one is going to be praying for each other. All right, and so with that, then God's blessings on your week, folks. It has been a joy being with you all, but especially being with you all in front of God. God's blessings.